The scripture reading this morning is Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace.
Good morning. We do have a number that are visiting with us. We are so thankful that you are here. I would ask you to open up your Bibles and follow along with what we'll be talking about this morning. And if you have any questions, please make sure that you ask. Our goal is simply to get to heaven, and if you can help us with that, we certainly would appreciate that. And if we can help you answer any questions, we would love that opportunity as well. It is amazing to me how quickly time goes by. When I was younger, people would say that, and all I wanted to be was older. And then you have children, and they'll talk about, oh, you better enjoy every day. It goes by so fast. And I'm pretty sure it went backwards sometimes during nights of constant noise and diapers. But now I have two teenagers, and sometimes I wish it would slow down. Maybe speed up a little bit every once in a while. But it's amazing to me how fast it goes by. It's amazing to me the power that we find in time. One of the things that we take for granted, as Brian was talking about at the table, things that we take for granted. The understanding that there are certain days in all of our lives that mean something. To you, June 18th, 1977... for some of you, it's a long time ago. Some of you has no meaning. Perhaps for a couple of you, there's some meaning, significance to that day. To my parents, it may have been a good or a bad day. To me, it's the day I have to write down on every form that I fill out, because it's my birthday. So I'm giving you 6 months to get ready for that. But this day has a significance to me. For many people, it's just June 18th. For me, there's been 40 of them in my lifetime. It means something to me. And there's significance to certain days for you, and sometimes those days are not for good reasons that why they are significant. If I said to you September 14th, for some of you, that may have significance. It may be somebody's birthday here. I have no idea. But that was the day I was baptized. It has significance to me. For others, it's the understanding that there is significance on a day because someone passed away on that day. And there are certain days when, depending on what happens on those days, the circumstances make those days important. For my generation, when I say September 11th, it means something. You're studying Esther. There are certain days in Esther, in the 12th month, that meant something to those people. And it's the understanding, the significance of that. See, but the reality is there's another day that's going to have significance in my life that I may not remember. And unfortunately, the older I get, the more I can fill this out. Not all of you can fill this out yet to this number, you youngsters. But I'm pretty certain that two of those numbers up there are correct for me. And there's a significance of seeing that, I think. You see, because something that we take for granted so much is the power of time. And the older that I get, the more I'm going to be able to fill that out. And there's going to become a significance to that day for me when it comes to eternity, for my family in remembrance of that day, and an understanding of what occurred on that day. But for me, far more important than those 2 days are the days that happened in between them. And how I lived. And why the significance of December 31st is so important. Why June 18th is so important. Why September 14th is so important. And every other day that we are blessed with. Here's the difficulty. So often, that's not the way that we view our time. 2017 went by very quickly. For some of you, it may not have. The older you get, the quicker they go. It was a blur. But there's a lot of things that happened in 2017. And if we look at it from a year perspective, you begin to think about all the various things that happened. And I'm just going to put a couple of things up here, not specific things. But the reality is we had people that moved away from the congregation. We have, obviously, families that moved in or began going here. There were deaths in our families. There are those that were born. There were some who have fallen away. And there were a number of you that were baptized this year. And the significance of 2017. You know what the significance is? I'm 1 year closer. I'm 1 day closer. That's not the way we look at it. The verses that were just read to us in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, make it very, very clear the understanding that there is a time. There's a significance. There is a purpose. There is a time to be born. That's the part we like. There's a time to die. There's a time to love. There's a time to hate. There's a time for war. There's a time for peace. There's a time to embrace, he talks about. There's a time to shun embracing. The understanding of time. Why is time so important to us? That's what we want to talk about this morning. Or, more significantly, why is it not more important to us? Why is there time that we feel like we can waste in our lives? And I'm not talking about a few minutes, days, weeks that we waste. I want you to consider for just a minute over in 2 Kings, the 20th chapter, one of the most interesting stories in the scriptures, as far as I'm concerned, happens in 2 Kings, the 20th chapter. Hezekiah, who was king, was sick. And God tells him, it's time for you to get your affairs in order. And Hezekiah does something very similar to what I would do. And what many of us do, or will do, at this time. He wept bitterly. He prayed to God. And in verse 6, he tells us that God says, okay, I'll give you 15 years. Verses 16 and following talks about the fact that Hezekiah didn't always use all those 15 years well. He had 15 years. When I was 25, 15 years would be pretty good, except for I'm 40 now. 15 years, is that a lot? If God said, I'm going to give you 15 years, you know what the problem that we do? That doesn't seem like a lot of years. You're not promised the next second. 15 years isn't bad. But in our minds, we've made it up that we have all this time. And we're 1 second away all the time. Not solely that we could pass, and that's not the purpose of this sermon. But it's the understanding that at any time, our Savior could return. And any time, this life will be over. It's the understanding, as James, the fourth chapter, talks about, that it's nothing but a vapor. When you're driving down the street and you're caught in fog, at that particular moment when the person comes on the radio and says, hey, don't worry about it, the next 20 minutes, the fog will burn off. When I'm in my car driving, I don't care about 20 minutes down the road. I'm in the fog now. See, the problem sometimes is that we look at our vapor, we look at our lives, and we're focused on the now. Right now, I'm in it. And miss the point that it's going to pass away like a vapor. It goes by so fast. And the understanding of the significance of every second you are given. When you look at yourself for the past year, from a spiritual perspective, have you grown as a child of God? You know, tomorrow people will start New Year's resolutions and Saturday we'll miss them, I guess. I'm going to tell you something. New Year's resolutions when it comes to spiritual matters is not based on a month. It's based on your faith. So if you're struggling with your reading of the Bible based on the fact it's January, you're missing the point. It's based on our faith, our relationship with God. It's not based on the fact it's January. And it's the understanding of our relationship with Him. Every second that He is willing to allow us to live. The difficulty so often is in Matthew, the 24th chapter, as Jesus is explaining to some degree what's going to happen in the destruction of Jerusalem in context, and also on the Day of Judgment, as you go into chapter 25, he makes it very clear the understanding of what people are going to be doing. You know what people are going to be doing on that day? The same thing we do every day. In verse 36, beginning, he says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then there shall be two men in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one will be left." And the idea, again, I can't make this enough, is the understanding of what's going on in context here. But there is no question that on that day, it's just going to be like every day. It's going to be a regular day. It's going to be a day that there are people that are marrying and giving in marriage. There are people that are eating and drinking. Everything is going to be the same. The sad reality is some people, including people sitting in church buildings, will not understand until that day. Do not let that be you. Do not be deceived into thinking that it's not going to happen to you. Understanding is 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and verse 3 talks about that people are going to be viewing it as peace and safety on that day. And he tells us, Do not let it come to you as a thief in the night. Do not be surprised. Be sober, be alert, be ready for that day. Do not be deceived. I assure you, for the majority of my young life, I was deceived in thinking I had tomorrow. And I'm not alone in that. We are deceived in thinking there's going to be a tomorrow. But it's the idea, and I just want you to consider this, one of the most amazing images I've ever seen in a painting were these people outside of the ark, scratching, trying to claw their way into the ark as Noah was in the ark with his family. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what that was like? A couple of days earlier, they were laughing at him. They're walking by the ark saying, "Well, he's already in there. It hasn't even started raining yet." Whatever that is. He's in there with a bunch of animals. But that minute, Matthew 24 says they knew, they understood now. And it was too late. The understanding of the people in Jericho as Israel is walking around this city, the first couple of days, I'm sure, were a little scary. There's the enemy. The third and the fourth day, I would have been laughing at that point. They're walking around trying to find a way in. There's no way in. They've been at this for 4 days. That seventh day, they made a little noise. What difference is that going to make? A lot, evidently. In that moment, those walls, the scriptures say, fell down flat. And it was all over. I want you to imagine what it was like for the Philistines to see David running out to the champion, not Israel. Israel's perspective of this little guy running out there had to have been interesting as well. But the Philistines had to have been as happy as could be. Look at this little guy. They weren't as happy when David lifted up his head. You see, the reality for us is the understanding at a twinkling of an eye. That change, 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, talks about that change of what is going to occur. That moment that we are always a second away from. That change. That change the people that are around us are always a second away from. And I've talked about this so often because it has such a great impact on me. When I do funerals, it never fails that there is a family member or a friend that wish they had just had one more time to talk to them about something. Just one more time. I want you to understand you have that right now. Now. It's way too many people, especially in families, that have these insignificant issues, and they think they're so big right now until one of them's gone. And then guess what? It's not that big of a deal. You are deceived into thinking you have more time. You have now. As parents, we are deceived in thinking we have a few more years to help our children. Absolutely do. Do not push it off till then, though. You have now. Now. To help them. To work with them. For some of us that perhaps have not lived the life we need to for as a child of God, I will one day down the road. You may not. You may not be given that time. It's always interesting to me when you look at passages like Luke, the 22nd chapter. Jesus, if you put the chronological order together of the Gospels, just instituted the Lord's Supper. He just washed their feet. Just washed their feet. And the next thing that the scriptures, at least chronologically, will talk about is the fact that they began to argue of who the greatest was. Who's the greatest? There's conversation to be had about that and the importance of that conversation. But here's the interesting thing to me. They had no understanding what was about to happen. They had no understanding of what was about to happen. They had no understanding of the fact he just washed their feet to give them this great example. They had no understanding of the meaning of the Lord's Supper that they just partook of. But when they are locked in that room, they understood. They understood what was going to happen. They understood the significance of what Jesus had done and what he was going to do. The scary part to me, brethren, is that there are people that are going to wait. There are people that are going to wait, and they're not going to understand the significance of what Jesus did, what he was willing to do for you, his desire for you to live for him until you hear the sound of the trumpet, until it's too late. Well, I was reminded as we're studying Esther, the 8th chapter, and I know you just finished that today, or we're studying it today in the auditorium, how the significance from one day occurred for the Jewish people. From one decree to the next, the no hope, the sorrow that they had. In Esther, the 9th chapter, verse 22, it talks about it went from a mourning to rejoicing. They went from no hope to absolute hope. They understood in that moment that God was working behind the scenes. He was working in Susa with Esther and Mordecai when the people in Jerusalem and other places had no idea what was going on other than the fact that the 12th month was coming. It's coming. It is truly amazing for us to understand what God has blessed us with, that God is always working, always in control, and tomorrow will never turn out the way you think it will, if at all. We are people who are to have hope. We are people that live a life understanding that we are going to go through difficulties, but we have hope. We have a God who is on our side. As we talked about all year, is the understanding that we are His heir. We are His child. And we have been blessed with the opportunity to be with Him for eternity. In 2017, have you grown closer to your Father? Or farther away? You know, the interesting thing to me is I think some of us may say, I don't know. I assure you, your Father knows. If your answer, by the way, is I don't know, I know the answer. The answer is no. You know, it's interesting. In any other resolution, any other thing that we do, we understand the consequences. You know, I'm going to lose weight every January. So if you ask me, did you lose weight this year? I don't know. No. We know the answer. We know. But when it comes to our relationship with God, then all of a sudden we have a little different variation of it. You know. Mainly because 1 John tells us, you know. You know what your relationship is like with Him. He certainly knows your relationship with Him. And by the grace of the Almighty God, He's given you December 31st to make sure that your life is right with Him. But it's the understanding when it comes down to time, as 2 Corinthians the 6th chapter, verses 1 and 2 tells us, that now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation, He says. Now is the acceptable time. There's a significance of understanding that you can plan for tomorrow, but you better be prepared for today. The understanding that tomorrow may come, but you better be prepared today. That you are living for the moment. Make the most of the moment that you are given and every moment that follows. In Luke, the 12th chapter, in verse 20, we talk often about the idea of this rich fool, and we spend time talking about the fact that he had built bigger barns and all the things that he had, and he took ownership of the fact that he was going to continue on. There is no question that that is a point of this, but there's another point. The other aspect of this that needs to be understood for him was that his life was up. I assure you that it is a foolish thing for us to think about that we're going to wake up tomorrow and everything's going to be okay and then everything's going to continue on. I think he would say the same thing to us then. You fool. Your life is going to be taken tonight. What are you going to do? We all have the opportunity now to understand how we're going to spend our time. One of the most interesting things when it comes to time is the idea that the time that we spend on earth, the time that we are given, will determine eternity. Eternity. Yes, there's no tears, there's no sorrow, all those things, awesome. There's no time. It's the understanding of that. And us getting our heads wrapped around that. That is so important to understand every second that you are blessed with. Make the most of them. For those of us that have not been living the life that we ought to, you have been blessed with the opportunity now to get your life right with Him. You have that time now. I appreciate the songs that were led. Concerning time, the understanding that it's time, it's in His time. There is coming a day when this will end. For me, some of you will be able to write in the rest of that date that I put up to begin with. And same for you. It's the understanding of the thing that people are so afraid of. You can be afraid of it all you want. You better not deny it because it's going to happen. You better be ready. Be ready. Live your life to the fullest for Him. As a child of the Almighty God, if you have not done that, now's the time. By His grace, His mercy, and love, He has given you this time. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the understanding that He came and He died for you to give you the opportunity to be with Him for eternity, to repent of the sins that you have committed, you crucified the Son of God, to repent of those sins, to confess Him as the Son of God that He is, not just your Savior, He's going to be your Lord. And it's not just confessing in front of people, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's a confession of your life. You're going to live for Him. Be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins. Now's the time. Do not wait. If you haven't been living the life, you need prayers of the congregation, ask them. Ask. We'd love to pray for you. As always, I encourage you always to pray for one another. Remember one another. If you have questions, please ask. If there's anything that we can do for you right now, I ask you to please come as we stand and sing.